G'day, and welcome to All Learning Reimagined. I'm your host, Teresa, bringing you a little ray of sunshine as together we're reimagining the future of education, one inspired story at a time. Today's topic I thought would be one that's relevant for everybody. It doesn't matter what age you are, and that is the topic of being ready to learn and really much why it matters, I guess. The reason why I decided to choose this topic today is because it's been coming up in quite a few different conversations, and there seems to be some sort of belief system, particularly in Australia anyway, with a lot of the educators I'm talking to, around the fact that you only learn in an environment which is in a formal setting, like in a classroom. And at this stage of the year, because it's the end of the schooling year in Australia, the children are tired. They're exhausted, actually. Their brains are tired. It's hot because it's summer. And their comments were that the children are just not interested in learning anymore. They're pretty much done. And it made me stop and think a couple of things. Number one, you don't have to be in a classroom to learn because life is university, basically. We're learning in every environment, in every moment of the day. But it also made me stop and reflect, well, how do I learn and how do I prime myself to be ready to learn as an adult? How do I consciously do it? And then I stopped and reflected on all of the students or young adults or adults that I have taught and mentored or coached over the years with a lot of life coaching. What do I do to set up an environment so that they are ready to learn? And am I helping them, guiding them, inspiring them to take that self-governance for them to set themselves up so that they are ready to learn, so that they are aware of the information? You know, the days of the adult being the expert in the room and knowing all of the information. And that the children are just sit there to be imposed upon and consuming the information given to them are over. It's done. It's not working, people. We need to get past that and definitely come back to everybody taking the responsibility to respond ably and to be self-aware, to know thyself, to be able to reset their own frequency, their own emotions, their own physical body, their own environment, so that they are ready to learn in the right heart space, mindset, blah, blah, blah. I could go on and on and on. So when I did reflect on this for myself, I thought, what do I do? And my default is I always start my day. So when I wake up, one of the first things I do is I breathe, I calm and center myself, and I breathe into my heart space and center myself. And of course, I ground. And it's something I've done consciously for so long. Now I just unconsciously do it. I don't even have to think about it. But it does occur to me that during the day, if I find that I catch myself, I've got too many thoughts running in my head, or I'm in that head space, or I'm starting to be triggered, to be stressed. The unhealthy stress, not the pressure stress, which is the healthy stress, then I just stop and center myself. I breathe. I either go outside into the sunshine, you know, I connect to nature, feel the breeze on my face, or I just close my eyes or center myself and breathe. Very, very simple, but simple is where it's at. Simple is all we need. And so it did make me wonder about being ready to learn. So here we are. This is the topic of the day. And here I am still introducing and I'm still talking. Yeah, I do like a little natter. Okay, so topic today's children really do learn best when their bodies, and when I say children, I mean of all ages. You know, you could be an 80-year-old child, as far as I'm concerned. You could be 56 years old and still be a child because we all have our inner child. But we learn best when our bodies, and certainly our emotions and our brains, are in a state of calm alertness, when we are not in fight or flight, when that reptilian brain, that survival mode, is not switched on. And as we've discussed in the past, that also means psychological danger that our brains are often scanning for today. It's not that a predator is going to jump out and eat us, it's possibly the fear of judgment, the fear of being laughed at, the fear of failure. There seems to be fear, fear, fear seems to be coming up again and again in societal programming, that data loop, that loop of programming that's there, often triggers us into that fight or flight, which means we are not ready to learn because modern neuroscience and psychology and pretty much holistic education models all point to the same truth. And I'm going to say this one slowly because it's very important. And we have discussed this before in previous shows, and that is that a regulated nervous system is the foundation of attention, memory, creativity, problem solving, and my personal favorite, social connection. A regulated nervous system, that means being calm, being centered. It's the foundation for everything. Attention, memory, creativity, problem solving, and social connection, aka learning. So these are all the things we need to be primed and ready to learn, and none of it will happen if we do not have a calm state. In other words, our state of being is the place that we launch from. One of the most important things to do is to make sure that we are in the right state of being, frequency, vibration, whatever the word is that you want to use today. And there's many different facets of that. There's things like emotional readiness, feeling safe and feeling calm to be able to take risks before the cognition comes. Young children in particular, but any age really, if you feel anxious or overwhelmed or upset, teenagers, if they think someone's gossiping about them, if they're not feeling psychologically comfortable and safe, then the brain's limbic system takes over and it really reduces the access to the prefrontal cortex. That's the front part of your brain, and that's the part that's responsible for your focus, your reasoning, pretty much all your executive functions, really. So strong emotions move a man or woman, mankind, into survival mode rather than the learning mode. It's really compromised. So that emotional readiness supports that attention, our cooperation, our resilience, pretty much our ability to take risks in learning. And the emotional readiness is definitely key, one of the keys to being ready to learn. Now, I know a few months ago I did a show on play and the importance of play, and we looked at the fact that in order to create a new neural pathway, it's around 400 repetitions. You need to do something about 400 times in order for that pathway to be cemented, for that learning to happen. And yet, when you're in the play state, when you're playing, it's much, much less, like significantly reduced. And I feel that that comes down to when you're playing, you are in a wonderful, relaxed state of being. There's lots of laughter, and your emotions are in a completely different state, which means you open up for the deeper learning happening within your body and within your brain, because you're launching from that heart space. Because when you're playing, you're doing something that you're passionate about and you love, and that you're launching not from the intellectual space, the mind. You don't need that. That's a tool. It's the heart space. And that's really key. So practically, what does this actually mean? So if you're an educator or a parent that's homeschooling, or a grandparent that's just got all the grandkids over and you want to do an activity, one of the things that you can do to help support emotional readiness would be, of course, supportive relationships. Having that sense of belonging is very important. That sense of belonging and feeling that they're not alone, they're not going to be judged, and that there'll be someone there to help them and guide them if they choose to or if they need it, not imposing all of your ideals on them. So allowing them to have that individual sovereignty, I guess. And that the adults or the mentors, because it could be a peer mentor, is attuned. They're not rigid in this is the activity we're doing. We have to do step one, step two, step three. No. It's being attuned and going with the flow intuitively of, okay, I think we've had enough of that. Even though I had planned to do this activity for another 20 minutes, I think we're done. Let's move on. Or, oh, I can see that you need time to process. Let's just stop, go outside. Tap into nature, get some inspiration or have a brain break, get a little bit of movement, and then come back to it, depending on what that learner needs at the time. If they're hungry, having a little nibble on food and having some water to hydrate the body might be what they need to come back to that activity to be ready to learn. Predictable routines are also very useful. So when they know what to expect, then they're not using that cognitive energy wondering. And some children can get quite anxious because they don't know what's coming. They do need to know what to expect. Not all students are like that, but I know that there are a lot that like to be able to have that comprehension and have that routine so that they know, okay, this is going to happen, and then this is going to happen, and then this is going to happen. And then that seems to calm the nervous system down. Because they're not in fight or flight. Everyone's different. Everyone is completely different. So that's really important. And also teaching young children from the early age, and then in young adults, of course, hopefully have mastered it by then, by the time you get to young adulthood, near teenage years, to be able to regulate their own emotions. So if they're feeling a little bit teary, if they're feeling cranky and moody because of hormones, then they've got strategies that they can use to self-govern themselves and their own emotions, and have the courage and the confidence to be able to speak and communicate their truth of what they need, to be able to express. There are ways to teach to be able to express that. This is too much for me. I actually need a break. Can I do such and such? And as an educator, if I'm in a classroom and I have, I don't know, 25 students in there, I would think nothing of having a student and having a look at them and tapping into them and having a conversation with them and saying, okay, I think you need some time. Do you want to go and sit on the picnic table outside? Go and get a drink of water, go and do some deep breathing, just go and have some time, go and lie in the bean bag and have a 10-minute nap and then come back, because look at you're exhausted. Your brain's not going to do any learning right now. You need a break. So and it's not the whole class, it's just on a needs basis for whatever that learner needs at the time, and having that compassion and that empathy to be able to create that environment for them. Because rest and sleep is another key point of being ready to learn, fitting in with your circadian rhythms wherever you are in the world. I'm lucky, I'm in sunny Queensland in Australia, and we have lots of sunshine, so I can wake up with the sun in the morning. I know when I was working in London, it was dark in some parts of the year, so much early in the mornings. I had to have an alarm clock in order for me to get up to go to work, and I wasn't able to rest and move into and feel into and work around my circadian rhythms in that environment in those seasons. But sleep is vital, and even just rest, silence, pause, taking the time to just have that quiet, quiet rest, that spaced learning is sometimes what our brain needs as well for us to have our aha moments and to process, so we're not jamming it full of distractions. Because the brain consolidates the memory, usually during sleep. That's pretty much what happens. So without the adequate sleep, our learning capacity significantly drops. The tired brain, well, I don't know about you, but when you're tired, you're more reactive, you're less patient, and you can have more emotional outbursts, particularly if you're driving in traffic. You don't want a tired brain. You really want to have that rest. So natural sleep-wake cycles are influenced by light exposure, having natural light. So turning off the fluorescent lights, which do certainly mess with our nervous system, and getting natural sunlight can help regulate and stabilize our energy. So what can we do about this? Well, if you're a parent, I would look at things like consistent bedtimes. Definitely reducing screen light in the in the evenings, and then natural light exposure in the mornings. So, get outside in the garden, get that sunshine in your eyes, not sunglasses, like get the sunshine in your eyes in that early early morning. It allows your body to really settle in and know that you are ready for the day. And then, of course, you've got hunger and hydration, and then brain-friendly nutrition is a whole other conversation because the brain uses around 20% of the body's energy, and children especially need that steady nourishment, not the sugar hits or the coffee hits or the caffeine that's hidden in some of their drinks these days. You know, some of the things that you can see that I observe children consuming that is packaged up in a beautiful little package saying that it is healthy, and it is so not healthy, and it's definitely overprocessed and not natural. And it has all sorts of spikes in the brain, particularly with the glucose. So, you know, hunger definitely reduces concentration and impulse control, but just eating anything and not discerning what it is you're eating and nourishing your body can be part of the problem. I've remember it was decades ago, actually, teaching a child who used to walk to school and pretty much guzzle a liter of Coca-Cola on the way to school every morning. And then this child was medicated for ADHD because he couldn't sit still. And all I could think about was, oh my gosh, if you have a look at his diet, it would take away a lot of the problems. He just, you know, the diet was the problem in this instance. You could really see it. And so definitely have a look at nutrition, hunger, hydration, good, clean, filtered water, structured water is important. You know, eggs and nuts, having little bowls of nuts, if they're not allergic, of course, and or leafy greens and something to nibble on when they need that brain break and that brain food. Natural air and movement. Movement's a big one. There's lots of different stretches that you can do to just oxygenate the body and get that movement to improve the focus and emotional balance is definitely part of being ready to learn because movement increases blood flow and dopamine, and it's crucial for motivating and pretty much working memory. Being sluggish and sitting around and not doing anything does not help. You know, it certainly hinders the learning. So, I do remember quite a few years ago I had a class that were very active. Oh my gosh, they just couldn't sit still. And every morning I would actually take them out onto the school oval and we would either run laps or walk. We did what we called a walk and talk. A lot of the students actually jogged and ran laps around and around the oval. We had bare feet, so we took our shoes off, bare feet, grounding. They were able to talk and socially connect and walk around, or they could jog. And we did that for about, I would say, probably 10 minutes. Come back, have a drink of water, do a little few stretches, and then we would go back into the classroom and just settle. And it was amazing. The nervous energy just dissolved, and they could settle and they could focus for sustained periods of time. And I know I used to have discussions with other teachers at the time who were saying, you know, what a waste of time you've got. That's key learning time. What do you think you're doing? But I knew that that's what these learners needed in order to stop and to focus. And I could get so much more a deeper learning from them because we were able to put ourselves in the right state so that they were ready to learn. And well, quite frankly, I didn't really care what anyone else said. I just knew that it was the right thing to do. Negotiated it with the class. They all agreed because I very rarely made decisions for the class. It was always negotiated, and the class always had a say as to what we would do. And we did our own thing and set our own path. And I know that a lot of those children went on to continue doing that because I watched them year after year, when I was no longer teaching them, go out before school started, and there they were out on the oval doing their laps or doing their walking. They had ingrained into this habit and that of that early morning movement, which was very important because some of those children at the time were addicted to gaming, and had very little exercise. So there was that. I'm going to move on now, though, to the last. I think key point which is really important to be ready to learn. And it's one that is very rare today. It's so simple, but it's not something that's done often, particularly in a learning setting. And that is the use of silence and stillness. Now, this really helps with sensory regulation. It's really, really important because we today live in a sensory dense environment, and silence really does help reset the nervous system. It promotes that inner awareness. You don't go within, of course. It increases the capacity for your deep listening, and it definitely builds that social, that emotional self-regulation because it supports executive functioning. And so it only might be 30 seconds. Usually I used to make it around a minute's silence to be able to just sit and breathe and feel centered before we actually dove into something that where they needed to concentrate. And it's a very, very useful tool. So try it and see. Doesn't matter what age you are. You could be an 80-year-old, you could be 57, you could be, 13. It doesn't really matter. The use of silence is definitely golden. Okay, so as you know, every week in my podcasts, I write an article and I often have activities that you can use, adapt, adopt, share, get inspired, create your own to do with whatever the topic is of the week. So, of course, this week for the article, I will have a few different activities that you can embed or introduce as small daily rituals. So usually around 1 to 5 minutes, and you can teach learners or you can use them yourself as a learner to help embed those healthy habits to be able to get yourself into that right state of being so that you are ready to learn or that they are ready to learn. And you'll be able to find these articles on bbsradio.com/all learning reimagined. That'll take you to my landing page, and that's where you'll find all of the archived shows. And when you scroll down further, all of the archived articles and resources that are created. Happy days. Use it, share it, do what you like with it. But this one has got quite a few different activities in it. So I'm going to just explain a couple of them to give you a bit of a taste of what they might be. And they're very simple, and they're meant to be simple because mankind, our bodies are supposed, they're very complex, our bodies, but life is not meant to be complicated. We're supposed to just be very simple and go back to the basics. And we don't need a smartwatch attached to us. We don't need lists and expectations. We just need to come back and feel into and listen to our own body. It is constantly communicating with us. It's telling us with an ache or a pain or a something that something's out of alignment. We just need to listen and feel into the sensations of our own body. But once again, we seem to have lost, mankind seems to have lost that ability to do that across the board, speaking very generally, of course. There's many of you. If you're listening to this, then chances are that's not you. But across the board, from my observations, and this is my perspective, we've lost that simplicity, and we seem to think that we need to overcomplicate things or we need technology in order to do things. So the first ritual, quick daily ritual, would be a morning check-in. So this is where if you've got young children or students in a classroom, you can invite them to place their hand on their heart or possibly their stomach. Either or, doesn't really matter because you've got your intuition and then you've got your heart space. And you could ask a very simple question. There's no limit to what the question could be, but it could be something like, what color is your energy right now? Or is your body feeling fast or slow? Or is it feeling just right? The whole Goldilocks thing. Is it just right? How's your body feeling? And get them to just be aware of how their body's feeling. What do you need to be ready to begin today? And some of them might go, oh, I need to go to the toilet. I think I need a drink. Some of them might say, oh, I'm so tired. I just want to put my head on the desk and rest. So consider that whole emotional awareness and then that self-regulation. And it's something that needs to be done on a regular basis in order for them to learn that they can do this themselves, their own morning check-in. You don't have to be in a formal learning environment to be able to do this. Another quick daily ritual that can happen at any given time is the 60 minutes of 60 seconds, sorry, of silence, where you can just sit together, just in quiet, preferably outside would be great. But if that's not possible, then it's not possible. But there's no rules, there's no posture corrections. You don't have to have feet flat on the floor and straight backs, all those sorts of things. It's just silence, just intuitively settle. And one of the things that I like to get children to do is to lean forward if they're sitting, because some of them like to lie on the floor, some of them like to stand and walk around and just rock while they're standing, that whole rock and water. But if they're sitting, I get them to lean forward and breathe in. And then when they exhale, they're going to lean back into their chair. And they exhale and they lean back into their chair. And that's when they put their hand on either their heart or their stomach, when they're leaning back and settling into themselves. It's just a really good strategy to breathe in and lean forward, breathe out and lean back, and then just settle. And they only have to do it once. And then they're sort of in that pace for that silence. It's very simple, extremely powerful for resetting the nervous system and just centering and being calm, which means that their brain is then in the optimal state for deep learning. The breath reset's really important. So you can go in through the nose and out through the mouth. Sometimes, if I want them to substantiate an intention, if we're doing goal setting, for instance, I don't get them to exhale out through the mouth. I just go in through the nose and back out through the nose so that that intention is actually settling within their body. And I do explain that to them. I know sometimes it goes over their heads, but you'll be surprised how many children go, yeah, that makes sense, because it's something I want to keep within me. I exhale out through my mouth when it's something I want to release. So there's lots of different breaths that you can investigate out there. There's just so many different breaths. Breath patterns like the square breath pattern, in for four, hold for four, out for four, hold for four, that sort of stuff. Of course, light and air reset. So making sure you open the windows, get fresh air, step outside, or try and use as much natural light as possible, depending on the season and where you are and what your resources happen to be. But even 2 minutes of natural light improves attention. It's really important. Water sip breaks. And of course, if you are an adult, then modeling that you've got that water bottle and you're sipping water. And having that hydration habit. Sometimes there's a hydration habit that you can actually cue into the classroom. And if everyone's got a water bottle and they're just constantly getting that nourishment, if they feel like it, that hydration for their bodies, if they feel like it. I also teach my children to talk to their water, to program their water, to set their intention in the water and thank it. If you look at Dr. Emoto's work with the power of words and water, that's a whole nother investigation that you can use with children, showing them the photos of that and talking to the water and thanking it, balance and healing my body now, and do that with their water bottle before they're taking a sip, which is a really another nourishing habit to investigate as well. There's of course grounding activities, sensory resets, fuel checks, nature corners, lighting adjustments, calm color palettes. There's lots and lots of activities in the article which you'll be able to investigate when you read it. Although we have run out of time. Oh my gosh, I could talk for days on this topic. It's a really important one. So the big thing, I guess, is being ready to learn, making sure that you're considering your state of being, and there's lots of very simple tips and strategies that you can use to get into that state. So I'd urge you to reflect on what do you do, what do you need, and what do your learners need that are around you at the same time. So thank you for joining me on All Learning Reimagined. Until next week, explore, experience, express, go out and live learning. G'day, and welcome to All Learning Reimagined. I'm your host, Teresa, bringing you a little ray of sunshine as together we're reimagining the future of education, one inspired story at a time. Today's topic I thought would be one that's relevant for everybody. It doesn't matter what age you are, and that is the topic of being ready to learn, and really much why it matters, I guess. The reason why I decided to choose this topic today is because it's been coming up in quite a few different conversations, and there seems to be some sort of belief system, particularly in Australia anyway, with a lot of the educators I'm talking to, around the fact that you only learn in an environment which is in a formal setting, like in a classroom. And at this stage of the year, because it's the end of the schooling year in Australia, the children are tired. They're exhausted, actually. Their brains are tired. It's hot because it's summer. And their comments were that the children are just not interested in learning anymore. They're pretty much done. And it made me stop and think a couple of things. Number one, you don't have to be in a classroom to learn because life is university, basically. We're learning in every environment, in every moment of the day. But it also made me stop and reflect, well, how do I learn and how do I prime myself to be ready to learn as an adult? How do I consciously do it? And then I stopped and reflected on all of the students or young adults or adults that I have taught and mentored or coached over the years with a lot of life coaching. What do I do to set up an environment so that they are ready to learn? And am I helping them, guiding them, inspiring them to take that self-governance for them to set themselves up so that they are ready to learn, so that they are aware of the information? You know, the days of the adult being the expert in the room and knowing all of the information. And that the children are just sit there to be imposed upon and consuming the information given to them are over. It's done. It's not working, people. We need to get past that and definitely come back to everybody taking the responsibility to respond ably and to be self-aware, to know thyself, to be able to reset their own frequency, their own emotions, their own physical body, their own environment, so that they are ready to learn in the right heart space, mindset, blah, blah, blah. I could go on and on and on. So when I did reflect on this for myself, I thought, what do I do? And my default is I always start my day. So when I wake up, one of the first things I do is I breathe, I calm and center myself, and I breathe into my heart space and center myself. And of course, I ground. And it's something I've done consciously for so long. Now I just unconsciously do it. I don't even have to think about it. But it does occur to me that during the day, if I find that I catch myself, I've got too many thoughts running in my head, or I'm in that head space, or I'm starting to be triggered, to be stressed. The unhealthy stress, not the pressure stress, which is the healthy stress, then I just stop and center myself. I breathe. I either go outside, into the sunshine, you know, I connect to nature, feel the breeze on my face, or I just close my eyes or center myself and breathe. Very, very simple, but simple is where it's at. Simple is all we need. And so it did make me wonder about being ready to learn. So here we are. This is the topic of the day. And here I am still introducing and I'm still talking. Yeah, I do like a little natter. Okay, so topic today. Children really do learn best when their bodies, and when I say children, I mean of all ages. You know, you could be an 80-year-old child, as far as I'm concerned. You could be 56 years old and still be a child because we all have our inner child. But we learn best when our bodies, and certainly our emotions and our brains, are in a state of calm alertness, when we are not in fight or flight, when that reptilian brain, that survival mode, is not switched on. And as we've discussed in the past, that also means psychological danger that our brains are often scanning for today. It's not that a predator is going to jump out and eat us, it's possibly the fear of judgment, the fear of being laughed at, you know, the fear of failure. There seems to be fear, fear, fear seems to be coming up again and again in societal programming, that data loop, that loop of programming that's there, often triggers us into that fight or flight, which means we are not ready to learn because modern neuroscience and psychology and pretty much holistic education models all point to the same truth. And I'm going to say this one slowly because it's very important. And we have discussed this before in previous shows. And that is that a regulated nervous system is the foundation of attention, memory, creativity, problem solving, and my personal favorite, social connection. A regulated nervous system, that means being calm, being centered. It's the foundation for everything: attention, memory, creativity, problem solving, and social connection, aka learning. So these are all the things we need to be primed and ready to learn, and none of it will happen if we do not have a calm state. In other words, our state of being is the place that we launch from. One of the most important things to do is to make sure that we are in the right state of being, frequency, vibration, whatever the word is that you want to use today. And there's many different facets of that. There's things like emotional readiness, feeling safe and feeling calm to be able to take risks before the cognition comes. Young children in particular, but any age really, if you feel anxious or overwhelmed or upset, teenagers, if they think someone's gossiping about them, if they're not feeling psychologically comfortable and safe, then the brain's limbic system takes over and it really reduces the access to the prefrontal cortex. That's the front part of your brain, and that's the part that's responsible for your focus, your reasoning, pretty much all your executive functions, really. So strong emotions move a man or woman, mankind, into survival mode rather than the learning mode. It's really compromised. So that emotional readiness supports that attention, our cooperation, our resilience, pretty much our ability to take risks in learning. And the emotional readiness is definitely key, one of the keys to being ready to learn. Now, I know a few months ago I did a show on play and the importance of play, and we looked at the fact that in order to create a new neural pathway, it's around 400 repetitions. You need to do something about 400 times in order for that pathway to be cemented, for that learning to happen. And yet, when you're in the play state, when you're playing, it's much, much less, like significantly reduced. And I feel that that comes down to when you're playing, you are in a wonderful, relaxed state of being. There's lots of laughter, and your emotions are in a completely different state, which means you open up for the deeper learning happening within your body and within your brain, because you're launching from that heart space. Because when you're playing, you're doing something that you're passionate about and you love. And that you're launching not from the intellectual space, the mind. You don't need that. That's a tool. It's the heart space. And that's really key. So practically, what does this actually mean? So if you're an educator or a parent that's homeschooling, or a grandparent that's just got all the grandkids over and you want to do an activity, one of the things that you can do to help support emotional readiness would be, of course, supportive relationships. Having that sense of belonging is very important. That sense of belonging and feeling that they're not alone, they're not going to be judged, and that there'll be someone there to help them and guide them if they choose to or if they need it, not imposing all of your ideals on them. So allowing them to have that individual sovereignty, I guess. And that the adults or the mentors, because it could be a peer mentor, is attuned. They're not rigid in this is the activity we're doing. We have to do step one, step two, step three. No. It's being attuned and going with the flow intuitively of, okay, I think we've had enough of that. Even though I had planned to do this activity for another 20 minutes, I think we're done. Let's move on. Or, oh, I can see that you need time to process. Let's just stop, go outside. Tap into nature, get some inspiration or have a brain break, get a little bit of movement, and then come back to it, depending on what that learner needs at the time. If they're hungry, having a little nibble on food and having some water to hydrate the body might be what they need to come back to that activity to be ready to learn. Predictable routines are also very useful. So when they know what to expect, then they're not using that cognitive energy wondering And some children can get quite anxious because they don't know what's coming. They do need to know what to expect. Not all students are like that, but I know that there are a lot that like to be able to have that comprehension and have that routine so that they know, okay, this is going to happen, and then this is going to happen, and then this is going to happen. And then that seems to calm the nervous system down because they're not in fight or flight. Everyone's different. Everyone is completely different. So that's really important. And also teaching young children from the early age, and then in young adults, of course, hopefully have mastered it by then, by the time you get to young adulthood, near teenage years, to be able to regulate their own emotions. So if they're feeling a little bit teary, if they're feeling cranky and moody because of hormones, then they've got strategies that they can use to self-govern themselves and their own emotions, and have the courage and the confidence to be able to speak and communicate their truth of what they need, to be able to express, there are ways to teach to be able to express that, this is too much for me. I actually need a break. Can I do such and such? And as an educator, if I'm in a classroom and I have, I don't know, 25 students in there, I would think nothing of having a student and having a look at them and tapping into them and having a conversation with them and saying, okay, I think you need some time. Do you want to go and sit on the picnic table outside? Go and get a drink of water. Go and do some deep breathing. Just go and have some time. Go and lie in the bean bag and have a 10-minute nap and then come back, because look at you're exhausted. Your brain's not going to do any learning right now. You need a break. So and it's not the whole class, it's just on a needs basis for whatever that learner needs at the time, and having that compassion and that empathy to be able to create that environment for them. Because rest and sleep is another key point of being ready to learn, fitting in with your circadian rhythms. Wherever you are in the world, I'm lucky, I'm in sunny Queensland in Australia, and we have lots of sunshine, so I can wake up with the sun in the morning. I know when I was working in London, it was dark in some parts of the year, so much early in the mornings. I had to have an alarm clock in order for me to get up to go to work, and I wasn't able to rest and move into and feel into and work around my circadian rhythms in that environment in those seasons. But sleep is vital, and even just rest, silence, pause. Taking the time to just have that quiet, quiet rest, that spaced learning, is sometimes what our brain needs as well for us to have our aha moments and to process, so we're not jamming it full of distractions. Because the brain consolidates the memory, usually during sleep. That's pretty much what happens. So without the adequate sleep, our learning capacity significantly drops. The tired brain, well, I don't know about you, but when you're tired, you're more reactive, you're less patient, and you can have more emotional outbursts, particularly if you're driving in traffic. You don't want a tired brain. You really want to have that rest. So natural sleep-wake cycles are influenced by light exposure, having natural light. So turning off the fluorescent lights, which do certainly mess with our nervous system, and getting natural sunlight can help regulate and stabilize our energy. So what can we do about this? Well, if you're a parent, I would look at things like consistent bedtimes, definitely reducing screen light in the in the evenings, and then natural light exposure in the mornings. So, get outside in the garden, get that sunshine in your eyes. Not sunglasses, like get the sunshine in your eyes in that early morning. It allows your body to really settle in and know that you are ready for the day. And then, of course, you've got hunger and hydration, and then brain-friendly nutrition is a whole other conversation, because the brain uses around 20% of the body's energy. And children especially need that steady nourishment, not the sugar hits or the coffee hits or the caffeine that's hidden in some of their drinks these days. You know, some of the things that you can see that I observe children consuming that is packaged up in a beautiful little package saying that it is healthy, and it is so not healthy, and it's definitely overprocessed and not natural. And it has all sorts of spikes in the brain, particularly with the glucose. So, you know, hunger definitely reduces concentration and impulse control, but just eating anything and not discerning what it is you're eating and nourishing your body can be part of the problem. I've remember it was decades ago, actually, teaching a child who used to walk to school and pretty much guzzle a liter of Coca-Cola on the way to school every morning. And then this child was medicated for ADHD because he couldn't sit still. And all I could think about was, oh my gosh, if you have a look at his diet, it would take away a lot of the problems. He just, you know, the diet was the problem in this instance. You could really see it. And so definitely have a look at nutrition, hunger, hydration, good, clean, filtered water, structured water is important. You know, eggs and nuts, having little bowls of nuts, if they're not allergic, of course, and or leafy greens and something to nibble on when they need that brain break and that brain food. Natural air and movement. Movement's a big one. There's lots of different stretches that you can do to just oxygenate the body and get that movement to improve the focus and emotional balance is definitely part of being ready to learn, because movement increases blood flow and dopamine, and it's crucial for motivating and pretty much working memory. Being sluggish and sitting around and not doing anything does not help. You know, it certainly hinders the learning. So I do remember quite a few years ago I had a class that were very active. Oh my gosh, they just couldn't sit still. And every morning I would actually take them out onto the school oval and we would either run laps or walk. We did what we call a walk and talk. A lot of the students actually jogged and ran laps around and around the oval. We had bare feet, so we took our shoes off, bare feet, grounding. They were able to talk and socially connect and walk around, or they could jog. And we did that for about, I would say, probably 10 minutes. Come back, have a drink of water, do a little few stretches, and then we would go back into the classroom and just settle. And it was amazing. The nervous energy just dissolved, and they could settle and they could focus for sustained periods of time. And I know I used to have discussions with other teachers at the time who were saying, you know, what a waste of time you've got. That's key learning time. What do you think you're doing? But I knew that that's what these learners needed in order to stop and to focus. And I could get so much more a deeper learning from them because we were able to put ourselves in the right state so that they were ready to learn. And well, quite frankly, I didn't really care what anyone else said. I just knew that it was the right thing to do. Negotiated it with the class. They all agreed because I very rarely made decisions for the class. It was always negotiated, and the class always had a say as to what we would do. And we did our own thing and set our own path. And I know that a lot of those children went on to continue doing that because I watched them year after year, when I was no longer teaching them, go out before school started, and there they were out on the oval doing their laps or doing their walking. They had ingrained into this habit and that of that early morning movement, which was very important because some of those children at the time were addicted to gaming, and had very little exercise. So there was that. I'm going to move on now, though, to the last, I think, key point, which is really important to be ready to learn. And it's one that is very rare today. It's so simple, but it's not something that's done often, particularly in a learning setting. And that is the use of silence and stillness. Now, this really helps with sensory regulation. It's really, really important because we today live in a sensory dense environment, and silence really does help reset the nervous system. It promotes that inner awareness. You don't go within, of course. It increases the capacity for your deep listening, and it definitely builds that social, that emotional self-regulation because it supports executive functioning. And so it only might be 30 seconds. Usually I used to make it around a minute's silence to be able to just sit and breathe and feel centered before we actually dove into something that where they needed to concentrate. And it's a very, very useful tool. So try it and see. Doesn't matter what age you are. You could be an 80-year-old, you could be 57, you could be, 13. It doesn't really matter. The use of silence is definitely golden. Okay, so as you know, every week in my podcasts, I write an article and I often have activities that you can use, adapt, adopt, share. Get inspired, create your own to do with whatever the topic is of the week. So, of course, this week for the article, I will have a few different activities that you can embed or introduce as small daily rituals. So, usually around 1 to 5 minutes, and you can teach learners or you can use them yourself as a learner to help embed those healthy habits to be able to get yourself into that right state of being so that you are ready to learn or that they are ready to learn. And you'll be able to find these articles on bbsradio.com/all learning reimagined. That'll take you to my landing page, and that's where you'll find all of the archived shows. And when you scroll down further, all of the archived articles and resources that are created. Happy days. Use it, share it. Do what you like with it. But this one has got quite a few different activities in it. So I'm going to just explain a couple of them to give you a bit of a taste of what they might be. And they're very simple, and they're meant to be simple because mankind, our bodies are supposed, they're very complex, our bodies, but life is not meant to be complicated. We're supposed to just be very simple and go back to the basics. And we don't need a smartwatch attached to us. We don't need lists and expectations. We just need to come back and feel into and listen to our own body. It is constantly communicating with us. It's telling us with an ache or a pain or a something that something's out of alignment. We just need to listen and feel into the sensations of our own body. But once again, we seem to have lost, mankind seems to have lost that ability to do that across the board. Speaking very generally, of course, there's many of you. If you're listening to this, then chances are that's not you. But across the board, from my observations, and this is my perspective, we've lost that simplicity, and we seem to think that we need to overcomplicate things or we need technology in order to do things. So the first ritual, quick daily ritual, would be a morning check-in. So this is where if you've got young children or students in a classroom, you can invite them to place their hand on their heart or possibly their stomach. Either or, doesn't really matter because you've got your intuition and then you've got your heart space. And you could ask a very simple question. There's no limit to what the question could be, but it could be something like, what color is your energy right now? Or is your body feeling fast or slow? Or is it feeling just right? The whole Goldilocks thing. Is it just right? How's your body feeling? And get them to just be aware of how their body's feeling. What do you need to be ready to begin today? And some of them might go, oh, I need to go to the toilet. I think I need a drink. Some of them might say, oh, I'm so tired. I just want to put my head on the desk and rest. Consider that whole emotional awareness and then that self-regulation. And it's something that needs to be done on a regular basis in order for them to learn that they can do this themselves, their own morning check-in. You don't have to be in a formal learning environment to be able to do this. Another quick daily ritual that can happen at any given time is the 60 minutes of 60 seconds, sorry, of silence, where you can just sit together, just in quiet. Preferably outside would be great, but if that's not possible, then it's not possible. But there's no rules, there's no posture corrections. You don't have to have feet flat on the floor and straight backs, all those sorts of things. It's just silence, just intuitively settle. And one of the things that I like to get children to do is to lean forward if they're sitting, because some of them like to lie on the floor, some of them like to stand and walk around and just rock while they're standing, that whole rock and water. But if they're sitting, I get them to lean forward and breathe in. And then when they exhale, they're going to lean back into their chair. And they exhale and they lean back into their chair. And that's when they put their hand on either their heart or their stomach, when they're leaning back and settling into themselves. It's just a really good strategy to breathe in and lean forward, breathe out and lean back, and then just settle. And they only have to do it once. And then they're sort of in that pace for that silence. It's very simple, extremely powerful for resetting the nervous system and just centering and being calm, which means that their brain is then in the optimal state for deep learning. The breath reset's really important. So you can go in through the nose and out through the mouth. Sometimes, if I want them to substantiate an intention, if we're doing goal setting, for instance, I don't get them to exhale out through the mouth. I just go in through the nose and back out through the nose so that that intention is actually settling within their body. And I do explain that to them. I know sometimes it goes over their heads, but you'll be surprised how many children go, yeah, that makes sense because it's something I want to keep within me. I exhale out through my mouth when it's something I want to release. So there's lots of different breaths that you can investigate out there. There's just so many different breaths. Breath patterns like the square breath pattern, in for four, hold for four, out for four, hold for four, that sort of stuff. Of course, light and air reset. So making sure you open the windows, get fresh air, step outside, or try and use as much natural light as possible, depending on the season and where you are and what your resources happen to be. But even 2 minutes of natural light improves attention. It's really important. Water sip breaks. And of course, if you are an adult, then modeling that you've got that water bottle and you're sipping water and having that hydration habit. Sometimes there's a hydration habit that you can actually cue into the classroom. And if everyone's got a water bottle and they're just constantly getting that nourishment, if they feel like it, that hydration for their bodies, if they feel like it. I also teach my children to talk to their water, to program their water, to set their intention in the water and thank it. If you look at Dr. Emoto's work with the power of words and water, that's a whole nother investigation that you can use with children, showing them the photos of that and talking to the water and thanking it, balance and healing my body now, and do that with their water bottle before they're taking a sip. Which is a really another nourishing habit to investigate as well. There's of course grounding activities, sensory resets, fuel checks, nature corners, lighting adjustments, calm color palettes. There's lots and lots of activities in the article, which you'll be able to investigate when you read it. Although we have run out of time. Oh my gosh, I could talk for days on this topic. It's a really important one. So the big thing, I guess, is being ready to learn, making sure that you're considering your state of being. And there's lots of very simple tips and strategies that you can use to get into that state. So I'd urge you to reflect on what do you do, what do you need, and what do your learners need that are around you at the same time. So thank you for joining me on All Learning Reimagined. Until next week, explore, experience, express, go out and live learning.
Thank you for joining us on All Learning Reimagined, where passion illuminates the path forward. Remember this, the future of learning doesn't arrive from above, it begins within. You are the spark, the shift, the living answer to education's silent call for transformation. So stay curious, stay awake. Let inspiration be your compass, because how we learn today is not just personal, it is profoundly generative. It shapes the very architecture of tomorrow's world. We are not separate from the system, we are its evolution. Until next time, trust the wisdom of your own unfolding and let your life be the lessons that light the way for others.